Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Amen. So let's get into the word. The realm of the spirit is exactly like this, right? You just have fairy tales in your mind. It's not that serious. Sorry, it was serious. Jesus is very, very simple. Are we together? Very simple. I was sharing something last Sunday, and I think I will just build upon it a little bit today. I said how I was watching some Bible stories, and a few of our brethren here were there, and we began to see the story of Elijah. Sorry, Ezekiel. And at some point, I was just looking out for them, wondering what they were thinking in their mind when they began to see certain things. More like, I beg, in my heart, it was like, I beg God, they should not misunderstand the Bible because of what they are watching now. You know, like one time somebody said to me, say, Pastor, why do you like to cover for God very well? Just allow us, I agree that God killed in the Old Testament. He used to kill people. He has changed. I say, it's not true. And so people think I'm trying to cover for God when I say he's not a killer. They want me to just allow it to flow. Maybe God has repented. And sometimes people, because of that wrong mindset, you know, sometimes you have a wrong mindset that helps you to easily misunderstand the Bible. Because you have your agenda. There's something you want to see. So when you open the Bible, you start seeing what you want to see. Do you know you can see what you want to see in Scripture? Because you have an agenda. Alright? So it brings about, the resultant effect is what we call exegesis. You are insisting on what you want the Bible to say. Not exegesis. These people should be siblings. The resemblance is so striking. Right? Yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you now begin to insist. You know, and a lot of people like that, they don't want to be sincere. One of the difficult things to do in this world is to talk truth. Just say the truth. You'll be hated by a lot of people. People don't like truth. In fact, if you begin to tell the truth to your father and mother, you start having problems sometimes with them. It's not like it's not true. Why do you have mind to say it? You know, there'll be a problem. One time I was teaching my mom and she said, it's not you again. How many years are you, Seth? I said, it's not about age. He said, it's me that gave birth to you. This is your Christianity. I was the one that started teaching you. I said, yeah, you took me to church. And I didn't want to make it seem bad. I said, yeah, I thank God for church. But I told her Jesus was taken to church by Mary. And at the point, Jesus said, destroy this, our church. And in 3 days, I'll build it up again. Yeah, Jesus wanted to destroy his church. You took your church on the head. You think you started the church. I said, the way you carry this thing, nobody has to tell me you were part of the pioneers of this denomination. But Jesus said, destroy this temple. He said, in 3 days, I'll what? Now, it paints a picture. The Bible says, according to his culture entailed, he went to the temple on the Sabbath, every Saturday. He was always going there. You know, some people are like, if Sabbath was Saturday, why did we change our own to Sunday? I mean, it can be any time because Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath in the New Testament. So we can make it Sunday. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So stop drawing funny history. Say Sunday is a day for worshiping some gods, goddess. So we don't know that Sunday is a wrong day. Who told you? Is it some goddess that owns Sunday? Huh? Is it some goddess that owns Sunday? What's our business with some goddess? She's in hell. And we own the day. The Bible says every knee bows and every tongue confesses that what? So if Sunday was a sun goddess name, the name has bowed to Jesus now. Are we together? Some of your names are not actually Christian names, but you are a Christian. Alright, I changed my own. Some of you have seen no change. There are some people that have terrible names. One day I woke up in the morning and I said, Lord, could it be this name that is affecting me? I want to go and change it. When I went to court, went to bank, everybody was just asking me, what's wrong? I said, remove it. Just remove it. I told UB, if you are not removing it, close all my accounts attached. Because they were wasting my time. They said I should explain to them why I want to change my name. And I said, this is my name. They don't need to know. I don't want the name again. So I said to them in the last letter, I said, if you don't remove it, you're going to block my account and all the church accounts in this place, meaning you are losing over 20 accounts or 15 accounts in one day. And I'm sure the person in charge of that branch, they will call him that day. Okay, they change it that evening. Amen? So, it's my name. Change my name. I don't want the name again. If I tell you the meaning of that son name I was bearing, ha! It was so bad. Now, it's my grandfather's name. It's his name. Alright? Thank God for him and his name. Me, my own father's name is what I want to use. Are you people going to try and say? Because it has a good meaning. And be like that. Imagine your name means failure. Your grandfather's name. So they now say, few, failure. Either in Idoma or in Tivo or Calabar. Few, failure. There's somebody that told me that their name meant death one time in this church. Eh? What's the meaning of it? Which one is that? You bear it? Don't bear it. This is our family name. You now check the family name. It means death. Run away from that name. I think somebody sat there one day said the name, their name means death. I said, go and change the name. It's a bad name. You know, one day I saw somebody in this town that the name in Tiv means poo poo. Ambi. I said, why would somebody's name be poo-poo? And you are writing it in every of your certificates. Johnson poo-poo. What would be nice about your life? You know, I go in Kaduna and some of their names are very funny, especially those of them in Kaduna South. I'm not trying to insult them. Even the other ones in the north, they have funny names, but they are not Christians. So let me talk about the Christians. You hear name like Jeremiah Damua. You know what Damua means? Problems. I'm telling you. There are good ones. You know your Esther Ankuri. Esther Abeg. Not only Yakub. This one is Esther Abeg. Because that's what Ankuri means. You know something like Johnson Megero. You know what that means? And that's not really even a bad name. It's even better than the other ones. Megero simply means you are selling guinea corn, guinea corn, millet. So they know your father to be selling millet, and it's not your their fault. Your father, as he was selling millet, maybe his father was selling millet or farming millet. He now, as his son, started. The father now saw that this business I'm doing, somebody is supposed to be selling the thing. They give birth to a boy. Because of that, he's thinking at that point. He says, yeah, I'm telling you, that's the name. I heard the name Inua. Inua. Inua means evening. Meaning, they give birth to you in the evening. Say, evening is your name. There are things like that. In fact, I've not mentioned the worst ones. I've forgotten some. Those days in school, in secondary school, we used to wait for certain names in class when they are marking attendance. We are in the teacher patiently till they get a certain name. You see all the whole class will stand up. They are not ready. They will mock those people because of their names. Hallelujah to Jesus. So certain kind of names, don't accept them. I removed my own. My name is Simon A. Thomas. The A is a botanical name. You don't need to know But it means God is first. You see that? And the name is complete because my father can doubt. He can doubt more before he believes. The name really followed him. I always used to tell him that the name followed him. If we talk to him, he said, give me evidence. So be very careful with names, right? Be very, very careful with names. Don't use names anyhow. You just see somebody, a worldly singer is wearing T-Pain. You too say, my name is T-Pain. They gave birth to you in one Kanawa, you say your name is T-Pain. John T-Pain. What's the meaning of T-Pain? You don't know. Sonny Rule, like Jaru. Jesus said, Sonny Rule. You also want the names. Those guys, so they have funny names. It's just because we're not saying anything outside. There's a name that is Stone. Stone Cold. Rise. That Rise in Arsenal. Snoop Dogg. Yeah, people want to bear that name because of the person that has the name. So, boy, Snoop Dogg, man, Snoop Dogg. And if they tell you, say, you behave like dog, now you want to fight. So they are funny names. Just be very careful with what names. The Bible says, whatever name Adam gave them, were their names. That was their function. The way God designed names, if they call you the name, your life should be like that. And that's why you should not joke with names. Take it very serious. It's very spiritual. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. So, I was watching the movie, like I said, with some of our guys in church here. We're trying to set up some tech jobs in the house. And I was just wondering in my heart, I said, God, this Satan should not, you know, because when you misunderstand God's word, the devil steals it, according to Matthew 13. Whenever you are reading the Bible, let me bring it in our terms now. Whenever you are reading the Bible and you are confused in a certain place, ask questions. Don't assume the meaning of that part of scriptures. Did you get what I just said? Listen very carefully. When you are reading a part of scripture, when you are hearing a sermon, anywhere, reading a material, a book, and you are confused, always ask questions. Don't just allow it to time and chance. Okay? Don't try to insist. Now, the Holy Ghost can help you understand, but should in case you are getting confused, there are people who have actually gone ahead of you. And of course, if you have a local church, ask your pastor. Because God is a God of what? Order. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? God will not have you planted in a local church and want to fortify you scripturally for life with someone else out there. No. That's one thing, you know, when we say it, some people want to be, you know, quite emotional with it, and they are thinking maybe we're trying to be biased or something. No, it's just wisdom. Alright? Because he said in his word that I will give you pastors after my own heart. You don't choose a pastor. God leads you to a pastor. Very important. Because if we have the ability to choose our pastors, most of us will be very stupid in life. Just like we don't have the ability to choose our parents. Because you know, I've seen people who say, I wish my father was that. Your real father is your father. You actually deserve your father. And it's not a mistake. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When God gives you the kind of father and mother he has given you, it is to the end of the kind of destiny he wants you toward manifest. So you are not in a mistake. Let me put it like that. Alright? One time somebody made me say, sir, I lost my father and mother while I was this age. And when I see people who have parents, I used to cry because I wonder what my life would have been. I say, hey, stop being emotional. Your life is perfect. He said, well, sir, you see, I don't have father and mother. I believe that's why. I say, shh, don't be emotional. Satan is lying to you. He has come but to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. You know, you don't have father and mother, and it's not your fault. Okay? And I want to promise you that God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. I want you to be excited and open up your heart, you know, to opportunities. Understand that every season of your life is to the end that the kind of destiny you ought to manifest gets manifested. So I told him, God is your father and God is your mother. He said it was in the book of Psalms. He said, if your father forsake you, I will be there with you. Something like that. I'm trying to paraphrase. And yeah, there are sometimes your parents may not even align with God's will for you. It's true. And at that point, I always tell people, you don't fight your parents. You cannot fight your father and mother. You trust God for grace to solve the problem. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You trust God for grace to what? Solve the problem. Just like you see somebody you want to get married to, and your dad say, hell no, you are not marrying that person. Over my dead body. War have started. Now, what will solve that thing is not, daddy, so they should be ready to carry your body home. Because I've seen, you don't talk like that. That's not wisdom. Alright? What do? You start trusting God in prayers. Start trusting God in prayers. What is daddy not understanding about this guy? And one day your dad may now come and ask you a question and say, I need clarity concerning this area. And maybe he had been assuming something wrong all this while. And when you tell him the answer, he's like, but I thought that was it. You say, no, that's not it. And probably that's the solution. But if you know your dad does like this, you do like this, oh yeah, now bring your best shot. You will not win that fight. Or your mom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You will not win that fight. I told you a story. One of my boys, he got married recently, you know, a long time ago. So at the point, at that season that he just got married, that's what I meant. He was already having some little issues with his mom concerning the lady he got married to, because the mom already has some assumptions in her heart about the tribe of the lady, and about, she just have one wrong feeling that the lady is not going to really be a good wife, and she will make her son deviate from her. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so she was just looking out for her son and was acting wrongly towards the lady. And during the reception, I think the mom acted in a wrong way, some sort of, and it really pissed him off. And he called me after the wedding, one day or 2 days after the wedding, and he said, sir, I'm tired of this. I want to go and talk to my mother. I can't take this. I have to make her understand that my wife is my wife and she is my mother. I said, wow, what a lion. And he kept quiet. He wanted me, you know, maybe he felt like I'll be like, yes, go and pay man. Because all through the relationship, I'd encourage him that if it was God's will for him, he should insist on marrying. Because they didn't even want the lady. So I said, see, if it's God's will, marry. Alright? And so he felt like I'll be for him and say, okay, go and meet her, tell her. Jesus asked his mother, woman, don't you know? I must go about doing my father's business. So call her woman, probably. But when he finished everything, it's me that called him lion. Amazing. I said, you want to start this journey by fighting your mother? He kept quiet. I said, you will not go finish her more. If you start fight with your mother at the beginning of marriage, your wife, you are setting up your home for destruction. Because eternally, your wife may have issues with your mom. And you are the one. It will be hinged on you. This decision you are making today. You may not understand now. To get to a point, you just stand in the middle and be like, God, what is really happening? And you don't know you are the cause of our organism. So I said, what you do is this. I said, your mother has assumptions. They are not truth. He said, yes, sir. I said, since they are not truth, they are assumptions. Can you paint the right picture? Make her understand that what she's thinking. He said, sir, but I've tried to talk to her. I said, faith without works is dead. And that was when money was a problem. There was a season the government was dealing with us. Fuel was very high. People were not driving. And I said, buy some gallons, 2 small gallons of fuel. He says, I don't really. I say, get the money somehow, buy it, 2, carry them like this. Not the bigger, you know, those medium. I said, take it home. He said, yeah, my father has not been driving his car. I said, just buy it and take home. He bought, went home. Hey, the mother jumped on him. Everybody was so happy. The lady was just trying to find her way to him, and they hugged her. And something started changing small. And they observed the peace. Somehow, something really happened. And he came back home. He said, sir, it worked like a miracle. I said, you painted a picture. You just made your mom understand that this woman is not coming to separate her son from the home. Because she knows that she controls your father. And the people of God will say, thank you. So you see, why mothers are always thinking like that sometimes? Because they know they control the home. You will not understand. I know most of you think your mother, your father controls the house. But I'm telling you the truth. Say, Pastor, are you saying this from experience? I don't know. I'm just saying. Figure it out. But most of you here know that when your father was about to make a decision, after one small sheepy noise in the night, he said, after much thinking. Which much thinking? Maybe you made a choice of your school. You want to go to a certain secondary school. Your mother is against it because she has seen some girls that he misbehave. But your dad likes the school for you. And they say they will carry you tomorrow and go and pay your school fees. And your mom just keeps quiet. Serve him the best food he eats. Then the night, you are hearing small, small thing and hearing your school inside. Small, 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 small. The next morning, you say, hey, Vero, come, sit here. You know me, your father will not make a wrong decision for you. Me and your mom, we really love you. You see, some of you are smiling because you remember this line. So after much consideration, I think you should listen to your mom. What of you, dad? Shouldn't we listen to you? And for that reason, we are going to take you to this other school. Are you here? No, no, don't complain. It's our final decision. So you see, that's why she's scared that this is what will happen to her son. But after just 1 week, it painted a good picture. They are bringing half well, meaning a lot of things will keep on coming. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And now the lady is at peace with the mother-in-law. Very close. You see them sharing pictures every time and the rest. Wisdom is profitable to what? The rest. Hallelujah to Jesus. So as we're watching, alright, I've finished that, right? It was Ezekiel in the Bible, Prophet Ezekiel. And Prophet Ezekiel was acting in strange ways, more like some other Old Testament prophet, like John the Baptist, like Isaiah. In fact, almost all of them acted in strange ways. Are we together? You always have one question to ask about every prophet, almost every prophet in the Old Testament. But you don't want to say it because their names are in the Bible, so you don't want to be confident about your questions. If not, most of us have questions. Why did Elijah call wolf? You don't want to shout it because you don't want angels to hear. Why did Elijah call wolves to eat small, small children? Is that not a bad thing? He's a prophet. You are wondering if angels will slap your mouth because you just called the mighty Elijah. But the truth is that we all have questions. Like John the Baptist now, say, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And I had a preacher one time teaching, he said, we are not the light. Because John the Baptist said something, he said, I am not the light. I have come to bear witness of the light. So there's a way he was explaining it. He said, we are not. And I looked at it and I said, these guys are trying to be emotional. You see, like John the Baptist was the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. He was not the voice. I said, that's not really how it's supposed to be. Okay, we're just trying to be emotional. You know, a lot of you think like that. You are like, God made us in his own image and likeness, but we are not his image. We can never be. We can never be. Think about what you just said. Again. God made us in his image and likeness, but see. Don't get it wrong. We can never be like God. What are you saying? Think about the English you just spoke. That he created you in his own image and likeness. Meaning you imagine like him as a man thinketh, imagines in his heart, so does he what? Live like. Are we together? So as long as we imagine and see things like God, we should what? Live like God. If my word abide in you and you abide, you see that every time in scripture God is saying that we are one with him. We are one spirit with. So it paints a picture. Does it mean God is our mate? How can God be our mate? You know, I've heard people talk like that. I hear people say they are like God. Me, I can never be like God. Who born me? Am I stupid? This dust, look at me. I'm nothing but a pencil in the hand of the Creator. You are not humble. You are just being ignorant. You don't understand the relationship you have with the Holy Ghost. That's why you think like that and talk like that. Now, how many of you will look at your father and say, Dad, I'm nothing but a pencil in the hand of you? Now, it doesn't matter who our father is. Some of you, your fathers may have high profile and the rest. Well, we all know all our, is your father not high? We don't so agree for those kind of things. Everybody, our father has high profile, but you all know what I'm trying to talk about. Whether your father is the governor or prime minister, it doesn't matter to you. It matters to us, probably outside. You get what I'm trying to say? But to you, it doesn't matter. You call your dad what? Daddy. You all come to my house and greet me properly and the rest. My daughter, you just come outside. Well, you see her acting in strange ways sometimes. I'll be looking at her. She doesn't care what the people are doing, you know, how they are greeting me. She just wants to come and have whatever she wants to have. Because as a matter of fact, I am a what? Father. If she comes inside this service now, you all know that she'll be running towards me. She doesn't care. Regular people, you know, who are not my blood, you know, all my children in the faith. You understand what I'm trying to say, right? They enter now, they can't run here. You will not stand up and come here. But my daughter now will enter here and be running towards me. She's not scared. Because I am her father. She has so much confidence around me. The Bible says we have not received the spirit of what? Fear again. But the spirit of what? Sound mind and what? Power and what? Love. What a combination. Sound mind. Power. Love. And that's why I always tell my friends, I said that you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost does not mean you should be looking arrogant or talking arrogant. Sound mind. Power. Yet love. You are bold. You have the power of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Spirit of God. And yet you are kind. The fruit of love find expression through you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So the Bible says in verse 14, is it verse 14? 15 of Romans 8, I think. It said, so because of that spirit, we cry, Abba Father. Abba Father is a more intimate way of calling God, or describing your father, all right, your dad. We say Abba is a deeper way in Aramaic, all right, of calling, you know, your dad, his name to you, you know, instead of saying father, let's say we can substitute it for daddy, you know, in English language, or maybe you have a way you call your father my love, or I don't know what you call your dad, but that very beautiful way you call your father. You guys get what I'm trying to say? An intimate of calling God our father. Are we together? So he said that spirit is what facilitated this response from us, the believers. Because we have the spirit that is confident, not the spirit that was scared before, the spirit of sound mind and love, we can call God daddy. Alright? An intimate way of calling your father. Are we together? So you see that mindset, that wrong mindset is timidity. See somebody just say, I'm not worthy. It's timid. You are just, what you are suffering from is low self-esteem. It's because we call it dead works of righteousness in scripture. It's called dead works of righteousness. What is facilitating that response from you, that those fruits from you, is ignorance. You don't have revelation yet. If you have revelation, you will be confident of the fact that God is your father. And have no problem sharing in his divine nature because he's your father. And so the Bible said, because he's our father, we are partakers of his what? Divine nature. That is why we can do things like God, because the only, you see, look at how he compares us in scripture. The Bible said in Hebrews 4, we do not have a savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. That God is not ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. Alright? When he came to the earth like Jesus, he was not ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. He understood all of our problems. And that's why he could be the high priest, a qualified high priest for us. Are we together? The Bible says he took upon himself our nature and lived on the earth like us. Yet he was never subjected to sin. He had to feel, you know, he took upon himself our very nature and, you know, went through all of the trials and temptation that will ever go through in our life. I said, I understand. Yet he never succumbed to sin. And listen, God is so powerful in that he came in the fallen nature of man, yet he was never subjected to sin. But more interestingly, what God has given you as his nature for you to live naturally upon the face of the earth today, you never gave God an assignment to put every revelation where you want the revelation to be. Are we together? As long as you see it in the Bible, it's not a coincidence. Even Moses, who told us about Genesis, was not given birth in Genesis. He was never in the beginning. He was given birth in Genesis, in Exodus 2. How the hell did he know what happened in Genesis? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now, it comes by revelation. So, Paul, understanding the word of God by the Holy Spirit, was able to calculate, the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth, and explain to us, which makes a lot of sense to us. As I'm saying now, your spirit can bear witness. That when one is skilled in the understanding of the word, his senses, the resultant effect is that his senses, guess what? Exercise. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he said the word of God was able to make him wise. The Holy Scriptures was able to make Timothy wise from a young age. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible spoke about Jesus so hard that he grew in wisdom because he always stayed with the word as a child. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So what gives you wisdom? Not the regular passage of time. Say, I'm 35 years, so I know what I'm saying. You can be 35 and very foolish. You can be 40 and very foolish because you have not interfaced with wisdom yet. Are we together? I believe that is why some sort of, in certain areas, not all areas, we are not backward in every area as Africans. In certain areas, the whites are better than us because of this one fact. They are more knowledge driven than faculty or oriented than just being emotional or necessary. You know, we Africans believe truth because of who said it. All right? I don't know that you guys get what I'm trying to explain. They believe truth because it is truth. Remember Elihu in scripture. The Bible said, Elihu, alright? Elihu, it's a very bad culture in Africa. That is why a young person cannot be president in Nigeria, even though one day it will happen. Because they believe that the people are too small. You know, one time I heard somebody calling Peter Obi a young boy that is so young to be. I said, hey, Peter Obi is young. Who am I? Meaning, I have not started living, oh. So, with this kind of mindset that these people have, would they want to even come and sit down and listen to me preach the word of God to them? Would they even think I qualify to teach the word of God to them? I remember a few years back with Dr. Caris and Josh, and I remember one of his pastors saying within the teaching, you know, not teaching, one of the Saturday morning session, how that one of their problems in the city is that people think Dr. Caris was so young. I said, this man is very older than me. And people in this city are thinking he's very young to preach the gospel. And I looked at myself. I said, I think I'm finished. What makes people wise is the fact that they have interfaced with the word of God. Are we together? Elihu in scripture had that experience. He saw that all the people were coming to Job in his trying season. During his trying moment. And we're saying foolishness to him. Foolishness. In fact, one of them said, curse God and die. Old man. He said, this your God is wicked. I beg. He's wicked. I agree with you. Curse him and die. How can you be serving God like this? And listen, Job was so devoted to God. The Bible speaks about how that he was so devoted. Alright? Even though the Bible said some of the activities, I like the fact that I'm not missing this revelation. As I remember it, I was just saying, some of his activities, you know, while he was, you know, acting so devotedly to the Lord, were sponsored by fear. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Meaning you can be serving God and be acting based on fear. Some of your actions, you've seen those things, some of us, where we grew up, our parents. One small thing, we'll just cry in the night, we'll carry anointing oil and come and rub on everybody's head. Have you seen things like that before? You know, you think it's faith sponsored, and we thank God for our parents, but a lot of times it's fear sponsored. Alright, one bat will just cry and they say, God forbid, Holy Ghost fire, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. For Job, anytime his children will even go out, when they are going out, Job used to sacrifice lambs. This is what he says, according to the Bible, he doesn't know whether they will sin. So if he just sees that they are going out, he'll just go and kill a lamb. God for their going out. He had so much money and so much rams that he felt like that can cover for any sin in his home. When whatever that happened to him happened to him, the Bible said his statement was this. He said, "What I fear has come upon me." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What I fear greatly, he said, it has come upon me. So in other words, anything you fear, you must experience. It's a law in scripture. Fear is faith in Satan's ability. A lot of times people replace fear with carefulness. You say, I'm just being careful. If you look at it deeply, they are being scared. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 2:15, it says in the book of, in the NKJV version, it says, who through fear for death, yes, who through fear for death were all what? Their lifetime subjected to bondage. Fear is a snare in the book of Proverbs. Meaning anytime you are scared, you subject yourself. You just tell Satan, see me here, finish me. You are willingly surrendered to Satan's ability. You know, when you act in fear. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. A lot of Christians who have died, we're talking with my friends one day. I told them that we're just agreeing on something. Many good Christians are in heaven. Satan took them early to heaven. Many, I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense to you. There are many good Christians in heaven. And somebody said, ahead now, is that not a good thing? What I mean is that they're in heaven early, too early. If you get to heaven at 19, does that make sense? Who wants to go to heaven now? It's not a beautiful place. If you want to go to heaven, say hi. Jesus Christ. You all want to go to hell? You don't want to make heaven? Or if you're ready for heaven, let's be on our feet. She wanted to start up. She didn't say no. Like she now understood what I meant. Are we together? And there's this wrong picture. This one and I said I used it to catch all of you. Because if you want to die, if you want to go to heaven, you must die. The Bible did not even say that. Huh? And listen carefully. Let me say something quite contradictory. As a theologian, listen very, very carefully. It is not every Christian that will finally go to heaven. Yes. Yes. It's not every Christian. You know, I used to do this thing once in a while. I want to resume now. I used to do it once in a while, but I think I should resume a little bit so that I'll keep people a little bit, you know, so that we'll go study. But I'll try to explain what I mean. The Bible says we shall not all die. So you are wrong when you say everybody will die. 1 Corinthians 15. It said we shall not all die. So death is not a surety for everyone. It said the surety is that we all will be changed. Alright? So the dead in Christ shall be the first to what? To experience the change. Alright? In the parousia, in the second coming, there will be a change. It will start with Christians who are dead. Alright? Some of your parents, some of your friends who lived righteously, who you preach the gospel to and they really repent. The ones you will never see are the ones that are in hell. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Should I lie for you? I go lie for you. You know, some of you, when I tell people, preach to your siblings, preach to your parents, preach to your uncles, people will be thinking, how would they tell my father? See, if you really love your parents, your siblings, your uncles, your friends, preach the gospel to them. Better the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Tell them the truth, even if it pains them. This thing where you did do, this thing is wrong. You're not acting like a child of God. If you know your brother is a Yahoo boy, don't celebrate the car. Don't celebrate it. I've seen people like that. I was talking to a lady. I said, I see your brother in town with Benz. Sir. So we see Amu. I said, how did he get the car? Sir, I don't really know. I don't know. Just came in school recently. Just got car. And they thank God for the car. They thank God that their child got car. I said, something is wrong with this generation. Outside the word of God, there was a generation that doesn't allow foolishness happens. They don't. It's not about the Bible. It's about the degeneration. We are called the millennials. Gen Z will not understand what I'm trying to say. There was a time that you cannot just go and buy food. Do you people know that generation? See Gen Z shouting, yes, sir. Yes. Are you sure you people know that generation I'm talking about? You buy food and come home. They will call for an assembly. Where did they get this phone? Oh yeah, talk, let everybody hear. Daddy, it's one of my friends. Oh yeah, follow. Mama, and carrier, follow. Go and see. You must go and show that friend. The friend will explain how they got money and bought your phone. I remember I had a phone that time in secondary school. My mother went to, was it Malali or where? Very far from the barracks. Outside, anywhere, in Indian barracks. Took me very far. just go and ask Samuel if he truly sold food to me. And now ask Samuel how I got the money. She didn't believe what I explained to her. When we finish everything, she now said I should return the food. And that she should give me the money. He said he didn't have all. She said he should give me what he has. When he gave me, she now seized the money. That's how the matter finished. Bam. I didn't have phone again. That the phone was too big for me. It was not big, it just had big screen. It was a useless phone. But it just had one big screen. There was a generation like that. That when they see with man anyhow, they'll call you inside. Who are you standing there with? No, that is just my friend. Hey! Did they talk that one that time? It's just your friend. You have mind to tell your father that you have boyfriend, a friend that is a boy. Hey. This generation will have bestie, yes. That is my bestie. Is my your best wedding. That generation, if a girl is playing with boys, they flog her in the house. See your friends, they play. You they go play with boys. You they mad? It was a generation that when you wear some kind of show me your back and show me your front and show me your chest that people are wearing today. All the block people, if you are in barrack like this, they will call you. Velo Kizonam, where are you going like this? Your mother saw you as you came out. Come here, hold your Mama Vero! King Yarian kid is David. Blah 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 blah. I did not see how that's a Vero. Vero near down there. Well, I've started. I know some of you are shocked. Something happened like this in this world. Yes. Pastor Peter said, I've not spoken about leg chain. In that generation, if you wear leg chain, you are finished. It's deliverance straight. Straight. They'll carry you to prayer house. You see your mother kneel and say, Prophet, please help me. Help me. My daughter have joined Mami Ota. Help me. There was a generation like that. I promise you, I'm not lying. And I tell you, it was better that time. That generation, again, let me say some things that are missing out. And I think that's why people are not getting, they are not intelligent again like before. When I see how people write jam today, I used to just pity my generation. And they say 150 this time. Those days, we'll gather under sun for like 4 hours on a straight line. Alright? 4 to 5 hours. Under the sun, waiting with just book and pencil, and you write down. Whether you are writing mass, nobody cares. Then one time, the man brought one calculator that will work sometimes and not work sometimes. And they say you must not carry scientific calculator. Those days, we used to gather in one person's house and watch film. Some of us would be at the window. And when they catch you watching, they'll still flog you. So you want to tell them, I don't have TV in my house. There was a generation that in the evening when rain is falling, children will gather outside and do suwe. You know suwe? Oh my God. See, I'm stirring beautiful memories for some of you. Suwe. There's a generation like that. Mold houses here with sand. Boys, we play colas. Yeah, this one will not understand this either. They will not understand what it be colas. You know, you have one beautiful name, you call it in English now. We know it as colas. We're even creative. We'll make this thing with encounters. You see, we're so creative, like China. There was nothing. We can even make gun, hunter's gun. We'll make knockout. Why? Before we have money to buy banger. There's giri, there's tire. You know, this generation, they really miss a lot of things. Now at 17, it's charged with charge. You know, oh my God. I took my care for an exam one time. This boy, when he saw one of the questions, pastor's brother, Instead of him to keep his phone sharp with me, he now checked. He was not doing like he was arranging. He now went to the side and wrote two ChatGPT and wrote one of for command, but command one time. I don't think this boy was using our head, all of us there. He went to the side and asked ChatGPT, please do this mass question. So when he was inside, it was not because I was solving it outside. And I said, does this answer look like? He said, yeah. He was moody. I said, are you sure you know what you did in that place? He says, but I asked ChatGPT, this is not the answer he gave. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I said, this kind of mean mode median. I said, you are asking ChatGPT. I said, this generation, can they find S? Do they used to find S? Are you sure trauma will not happen when they find S? Say, daddy, I want to commit suicide. Why? Teacher told me to find S and I saw S nowhere. That's the problem. This generation. Just permit me, let me say some of these. People want to be committing suicide. Suicide is so cheap in this generation. A lady of 21 or 18 or 19 wants to commit suicide because boy break her heart. Who allow you to enter a relationship? Who allow you to leave herself? Talk less of entry relationship. Say boys are scum at 19. How many boys do you know at 19? I know what I'm telling you. I remember one day my sisters were outside and my father said, what are you doing? Are you watching them? I said, no, they are outside playing. I said, what is wrong with you? Is that how I train you? Don't you see how I work with them? Go and peep and see what they are doing outside. Do you know that your boy is talking to them? I said, I should be following them anywhere they are going. He said, my friend, I'm teaching you life. I now stood up. I saw her talking to one boy. I said, Mimi, what are you doing with that boy? He said, when did this one start? I said, are you mad? Is it me you are talking to like that? My father was hearing me. He was just... You know, I had his backing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I said, are you talking to me? Are you mad? Will you move and go back home now? Are you mad? You, what are you doing here? Will you get out from this place? Took her and gave her to my father. Then my father now betrayed me that day. I said, sir, see her here. He said, why did you shout for her like that? I said, you said that she's... He said, no, that's not how you talk with a lady. Are you hearing me? I said, okay, no problem. Nice one. I said, lady, don't enter a relationship anyhow. I was talking with a lady, like I said last week. She's currently around 31, 32. Going to 33, I think so. Now, while we're talking, I saw that God will... She's going to get married soon and the rest. So I wanted to really understand. And the Lord started showing me how she had thinking, some kind of mappings in her heart. And I asked her a question. I said, when did you start a relationship? Firstly, with the breakthrough marriage, I see God doing something. And I see you getting... And it's embarrassing sometimes. When you see a lady, a lot of times they don't want to tell you they are trusting God for a husband. But they actually are trusting God for a husband. But when you say, if you're a lady here, you're trusting God for your husband, stand up and say, I receive, everybody will keep quiet. Because they don't want to look like they are desperate. And it's not like it's a problem necessarily, but for some, they cause these things upon themselves. I said, when did you enter your first relationship? She said, around 19, about 20. I said, how many years? She said, 2 years, just secondary school teens, you know. I said, okay. Maybe after secondary school or something. Then I said, what of your second relationship you mentioned? I said, how many years? She said, 5 years. I said, that means you should be around what age? Say around 26. You're about 27. I said, wow. And you broke up? Said, yes, the guy just woke up one morning and started acting anyhow. I said, it didn't pain me. It pained me. You see why some fathers will carry hunter's gun and put by their side and say, if you come too close to my daughter, I will shoot you. It's because of some characters that these brethren have. Somebody wants to enter a relationship with no vision. Nothing in his head. His only intention, I want to sleep with this guy. God, I want to sleep. That's the only thing that will make him lie and make all the effort. And when he finish, he leaves her. See the demonic heart. Meanwhile, the ladies too should be wise. If you listen to the word of God enough and listen to people who have gone ahead of you, I always tell young ladies, look for one lady that the Spirit of God leads you to carefully. In fact, sometimes they are not far from you. You'll be so amazed. One of your aunties like that is very humble now. She used to shout, but now she's calm. Make her your friend. You observe, she used to be very like a Superman those days. Now say, Auntie Vero don't come. Everybody, she just allowed things. When they come for family meetings, any two people agree, it's okay by me. She doesn't talk too much. Just make Vero your friend. That auntie, make her your friend. Anytime you want to make a decision, ask her. You'll be so amazed. She will help. She will tell you, if she, that's, there are good people, though, because there are some that are fools at 40. She will tell you the truth. Nothing but it, even about who to marry. You just look at a man. They used to have one grace for the prophetic like that. Say, what did the man tell you? Where did you people meet? She doesn't smile. Anita, you know, go understand. 12 years ago. Tell me the things he's saying. That's exactly what he said. Ah, he reminds me. Now, back to that story. She's 26, 27. How many years have been wasted? Huh? That young man now is still going to carry 21 and marry you. You now at 27, somebody's wondering, what did she really do in her life that is making people not marry her? She didn't do anything. She just believed a wrong human being. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why you don't gamble with your life as a woman. If you like, let him cry. I told you the story of my sister. The guy said he will die. She does not say yes. He will die. She now called me, Pastor. Where they asked me out in university. She was in 100 level JJC. You know when you are JJC, that's how they do them. Those JJC. The guy was crying on the phone. Guys. She now was scared. He said he has kept watapia, he snapped it and everything, that he would die. I said, where are you? She said, home. I said, is your roommate around? She said, no. I said, I'm coming to spend the night in your house. So I took myself, arranged myself, went to her house. We're not so far from each other. And I said, today I spend the night here. I said, like this thing, and we forgot the thing. I said, can I use your phone to do something? She said, I collected the phone, operated the phone, she slept off. Then the next morning, by 10 a.m., I said, check your phone. Call that guy. She called the guy. Hello? I said, hello. She now ended. He did not die. I said, you think this guy will kill himself? A strategy, Nollywood. I said, you know Ramsey Noah? She said, yes. How about G. Mike? Emeka Ike, the way he's shouting now, does he look like that person that was crying in Nollywood? I said, these things are activities. Sometimes people can cry and don't have the capacity to facilitate what they truly probably even mean well for. See, what I said is deep. Forget the English. Catch the distinct. In fact, it's as deep as the English. Listen to me carefully. Peter didn't want to betray Jesus. He did not. Peter plugged out somebody's ear. I'm working with Pastor. He ran. So let's say I'm working with him. Because the day people came with gun, he ran away. So I can't use him as a befitting example. So let me use Pastor Emma for instance. Did he ever run? Okay, let me use him. Maybe he has not run yet. And I believe he will not run. So one day, somebody came to attack Jesus. Peter, remove knife. Who goes with you? The guy just moved. Pew! What an act. Ear fell. He did not cut small. He fell down. If you like, don't know how to use sword. Are you seeing Jesus' disciples with sword? Say, you are praying Boko Haram should come. In Jesus' name, Boko Haram, I rebuke you. Boko Haram, bandit, Holy Ghost, pluck their ear. You are seeing somebody that is following Jesus bumper to bumper, carrying knife, he cut somebody's ear. In fact, when Jesus was sending them to go and preach, they were going to follow some kind of road that have bandits. He said, sell your cloth, buy some sword. So as you are going to preach, make sure you preach that message. Nobody should stop you on the road. Time and fees for missionaries to be putting gun inside their bag now and be going somewhere. We are going to preach somewhere there. But we must pass there. People are coming. So we are Christian. Don't just say we are Christian. You know, sometimes when I hear some Christians say some stories, the thing is to pay me. I'll just sit down and be, you see me hitting my leg and say, they should stop this stupid story now in this place. And it's not like some of them did not happen, but it's not supposed to be like that. And sometimes when I say this thing, they are like, you see somebody be singing, say, I'm ready to be martyred for the Lord, I'm ready to die for you, let them kill me now. Listen, If you see knife, I tell you the truth, you will run. Nobody wants to die. Death is not sweet. That's why anytime we shout, we are ready to die for you, then mosquito will bite us. Sharp, sharp to medical store. Pastor, I'm not coming to church. I can't come for Bible study. Why are you not coming for Jesus' midweek service? We're not talking about mission field yet. I'm suffering from malaria. You should come and die in church. You see, but you want to treat yourself. Run to hospitals. Because nobody wants to die. I heard one time what I was trying to prove to you. Somebody said, death is the only way to the glory. I said, yet people go and treat themselves immediately. They are sick. What kind of death do you mean? When I will die, we're ready to die. I heard someone singing a song and he said, Lord, if you will die, we will die. Listen, most people like that, they live in GREs. None of them may necessarily. I'm not trying to mock them. They may really love the Lord, though. And that's why sometimes I get offended. You've not said anything about the debt. You are telling Christians who are ready to die for you. You are living in GRE. Police, they fall everywhere. Nobody, God does not want anybody to die for him. Listen to me carefully. Martyrdom is not the current move of this. God does not want it. Nobody needs to die for the kingdom of God to move forward. The disciples have paid. Now, we agree that they were martyred. They were not martyred for you to be martyred. They were martyred for you to matter. I don't believe they died for us to die. They paid some sacrifices, not for us to die. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you are going to preach, then I see some people say, God, thank you for dying this way. What is wrong with you? You are calling Israel God's people. You know what they really enjoy from God? You know the kind of machineries God helped them to create? The Bible said by one sword, somebody is killing almost hundreds of people. One sword, your head will just be falling down. And it will finish, you say, Father, we thank you, El Shaddai. We thank you, El Shaddai. I don't think some of you really understand this Christianity. David said, thou strengthened my hand to war. When he saw enemies, he said, Lord God, show your power. When power came, he said, thank you, Jesus. Yes, we can lay hands on people and they will be slain under the power of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean that we cannot hold cutlass and cut people under the power of the Holy Ghost too. Very important. I like to add these small things. I like to factor them in the message so that you really understand. Very important. Are we together? We're back to business now. Peter plucked out somebody's ear. The next moment, he was now promising God, Jesus Christ. He said, I will never betray you. I will never. That's how some people are, like I was trying to explain. They truly mean what they are saying. These men. Or probably these women. Because sometimes women can speak to you too and fail you in relationship. They mean what they are saying. But if they are not God's will for you and don't have what it takes to be capacitated to facilitate what they are professing here as love, they will still fail you. Alright? Let's do this mass now. 1 John 4 and 19. 1 John 4, 19. Let's read together. 1 John 4, 19. Everyone, let's read together. Why will we be able to love him? We love him because he first loved us. In John 8, the Bible said, if we love him, the proof is that we what? Keep his commandment. You know, I was talking to some brethren someday, one of those days, I said, the way you read that scripture matters. Tone. God is not like, if you love me, I keep my commandment. Mm-mm. He was loving, speaking that, I believe. If you love me, then keep my commandment. The proof that you love me is that you will what? Keep my commandment. But you see, how can we love him? Substitute for love. Now, how can we keep his commandment? Because he has first what? Loved us. How did he love us? In his what? Death, burial, and resurrection. That did a great deal. In his death, the Bible speaks in Romans 6, says he took off the old nature. You see that? In his death, the Bible says, when we died with him in faith, we are freed from sin. Romans 6, 7. Because of his death, the Bible still said, sin shall not have dominion over us. Because we are not under the law, but now under the influence of his death, burial, and resurrection, which is what? Grace. So Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, got us capacitated. Through the showcase of his love for us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We got capacitated because of the showcase of his love. So because of his love towards us, we got capacitated to love him back. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? We can only love God because he has capacitated us through his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. So now here is a man professing love for God. Meanwhile, Jesus was not yet dead, buried, and resurrected yet. I'm talking about Peter now, right? He was like, Master, no matter what, through the storm, I will go with you, I'll follow you, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus was not moved by that because he was not yet dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. Nobody can love him now. Nobody can truly love him. That is why the best of what you saw in the Old Testament about men of God was sin. I tell you the truth. Yeah. You know, one time, I know this statement sounds contradictory. Go and read the book of the Old Testament very well. You'll be so amazed by what God did, but a lot of sin in the lives of those people. And sometimes people try to compare us with the Old Testament guys. You will miss out in Christianity. You know, I heard a prophet, a man of God, is saying, we condemn men of God. These days is wrong because in the Bible, great men of God were sinners. Talk about David. Talk about Solomon. So if I sin, don't condemn me because I did not condemn you too. Now, it sounds so emotional, but it's a useless statement. To whom much is given, much is what? Expected. That is why Jesus told us, he said, your righteousness in the New Testament must exceed that of the Pharisees. You know why? The provision is too much. He said he has given us everything, not some things. We are super capacitated. That he has given us everything necessary for life and godliness through the understanding of his great and precious promises that he brought to us through his what? Death, burial, and what? Resurrection. The showcase of his love. You see that? That's why the man of God, Paul, I think, says words like this. The love of God constrains me. I don't just do things anyhow. Because of the understanding of God's love, I'm constrained. The fruit of love. Joy, peace, patience. You can mention holiness. They did not finish mentioning all of them. All the beautiful things. And that's why he said, whatever is good, think of it. Any beautiful thing is a fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit. Are we together? Peter was claiming boldly that he loved the Lord and that he would die for the Lord and that nobody can touch Jesus. But immediately, Jesus looked at him and said, before the cup, what? You will deny me how many times? 3 times. When they caught Jesus, when he saw the heat, a child came and said, daddy, this man, I see this brother the other day with Jesus. Peter was like, your boy actually doesn't know what he's saying. That's somebody that plucked out Jesus, somebody's ear for Jesus. Please follow me carefully. Because if you truly don't understand Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his love towards you, I tell you the truth, like they are David and Solomon, you will make some impact yet and yet misbehaved. Think about it. David killed Goliath. One of the ways David got finished was through what? What's her name? The woman that he saw, Naomi. Huh? Bathsheba. Not because she wanted to do it consciously. It was not her fault. It was his fault. Even though the action of the woman really baffled me. Yeah, because she gave in easily, too easily. Alright? It's not today women say liking money. Are we together? Sorry to say that. Let's continue what we are saying. Amen? Not all women, some women, like Bathsheba. Alright? And David had mind. When the man died, he did not say, I leave the woman. He continued, he begged God for forgiveness and continued with the woman. Do you know that David had another baby with that woman? When I saw it, I said, hey, whoa, this man did not return this wife back to her people and say, I made it. He begged God, finish, say, thank you, God, for forgiving me, but I will not leave this woman. You know, he continued. And that was not it. After David claimed to have repented, the Bible speaks of how that the first son, Absalom of David, will go to the top of a building and sleep with David's concubines on the bed. David used to sleep with them. Meaning David still was sleeping with plenty of women after he asked God for forgiveness. My God. Now, why did you beg God to forgive you? If after that night, you already had another sin in mind. This one was not one woman. It was women. The Bible said women. I don't know what they call that. David sleep with all of them. A special bed. His main wife cannot talk. Even Bathsheba too suffered it. After that, Solomon now came. We don't even need to talk about that. That's not a discussion. It's a discussion for another day. When he heard what his father did, he did double. Say, you know, the blessing of a father is that his son should do what? Better than him. Solomon did better. The Bible says Solomon had how many wives? And how many concubines? Think about it. Do the math. How old is Solomon? How would Solomon do that kind of thing? People of God, I told God one day, I was reading the Bible, I started laughing. I said, if I get to heaven after I'm done speaking to Prophet Kobus, I want to see Solomon. Just keep me around Solomon. Let me talk. Let me ask him one question. Solomon, how you do this thing? I'm sure he will first laugh. Hey, Prophet Solomon. But no. Let's. I know God wants us to say another, but let's discuss this thing. I've been curious. 700 wives? And how many concubines? 300 wives, sorry. And Okay. Side chicks. That's the one Bible talk. That means all the ladies around Solomon's area. Any lady that passed. Come here. When I said to go and fetch water, Solomon, see your own fish. Hey, whose daughter are you? Hey, you are Chief Francis. Chief Francis, I see your daughter. Bring your bill. You are gone. Go ahead and mention the names. Striking characters that will baffle your heart. What was wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? Hallelujah to Jesus. We're discussing Abraham, Father Abraham, one time. Thank God for his great faith. Alright? He still fulfilled destiny. Alright? One time we're discussing. We said, but look at how they acted at certain point. His wife, he has finished talking with God. Oh, his wife said, I cannot do this thing. Blah, 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 blah. But I think you still have the ability to give birth. Choose anyone you want. They sat down, husband and wife sat down. They were like, okay, I know I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Okay, I think this one is okay. It's okay, okay. All right. And come and give Abraham food. Meet him in the house. And the wife was at the door, waiting. I mean, look at what they did. Yet, anytime we're talking about it, we don't really emphasize that because they really ended up great, some of them. God did great things in their life. But I want to show you the fact that, you see, outside the understanding of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, nobody truly lived a righteous life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So if a man of God is trying to get an example from the Old Testament folks, he will miss it entirely. Because you see, in the New Testament, what we have received is too much for us to fall a prey to the devil. That's the picture. Satan does not want this thing to be painted in your minds. He wants us to be thinking like David. The Bible said, the least in the kingdom. Firstly, you are in the kingdom. Do you know that? I'm not sure some of you know what I'm talking about. Do you know you are in God's kingdom right now? Let's read together Colossians 1 and verse 13. I want everyone to read. Colossians 1 from verse 13. 1, 2, read. Hey, you're not reading with conviction. See, it's not going to deliver. So, let's read again with conviction. Want to read? We've been delivered from that kingdom. Alright? The gospel is the knowledge of what has been done. Not what will be done. I think you get what I'm trying to say. God has done it and he's telling you what he has done. When he did it years ago, he said, it is what we are doing today. We are revealing the promise of God to you. What he has achieved for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why Peter said, through the understanding, in 2 Peter 1, he said, through the understanding of God's great and precious promises, we have now what? Become partakers of his divine nature. And the resultant effect is this. We have escaped thereof the corruption that is in the world through us. So you see, the least of us in the kingdom, meaning the last person who becomes born again today, is greater than the greatest in the Old Testament. Because they never lived in righteousness. They never understood or taught righteousness. I know some people are wondering, how? Because their sacrifices was on the basis of rams and goats. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's what the Bible says, he who knew no sin, Jesus had to come and fulfill it. A body had that prepared for me. He said, to the end that I do the will of the Father. He said, what is the will of the Father? Removing the first to establish the second. In Hebrews 7, I think it's 8:7 or 7:8, it says, if the first covenant was faultless, there will be no need for another. And thank God, Jesus paints a very good picture. He said, I have come to do the will of my Father. Meaning the will of the Father is not rams being killed, goats being killed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He said, if I wanted to eat that, was it not David that wrote that in one of his songs? He said, if I wanted to eat that, I would have eaten anyone I want to eat, not the ones human beings haven't given me. He said, if I'm looking for a house, I can create a befitting one for myself. Thank God, he said, he will create a befitting one for himself. Meaning we are befitting houses for the Lord. Because Paul speaks to us. He said, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? The finality of the revelation, even in the book of Revelation, was this. He said, now the tabernacle of God, after the last trumpet, he said, now the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall reign on the earth forever. Now, I'm trying to prove to you, I'm back to that thing now. I'm trying to prove to you how that we shall not all die. I will not all be caught up in that realm called heaven. But what God promises is that we will all be changed. And in the twinkle of an eye, somebody said, Pastor, explain exactly how the second coming will happen. How are you insane? How will you tell me to explain exactly? I don't know how exactly it will happen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But it's going to happen. The Bible says some sort of, in the twinkle of an eye, like sharp, sharp. At the sound of the last trumpet, it said changes will happen. Now, it's figurative. The sound of the last trumpet, meaning the message of the gospel being preached. The change is as like it's like a twinkle of an eye. Now, as I'm teaching, and there are some of you that a conviction just got strengthened. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. All right? It said there will be a change, and a lot of things will happen. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now, if that happened, if the reign of the parousia happens, the Bible says, we that are alive and shall remain. 2 Thessalonians 5. The Bible says, we that are alive and shall remain. Now, he was speaking by faith, in faith. You know, he was thinking. Because the truth is that you can't really tell when the second coming will happen. So, Paul, while he was preaching the gospel, said, he is that if it happens now, we that are alive now and are here, we shall be caught up together in the reign of the kingdom, and we shall live forever thereof. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I mean, the second coming may happen today, for instance. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And it simply means that nobody now will fly to a realm called heaven, because the goal is that as it is in, so shall it be. You know, finally, the finally will be like the beginning. Now, hear what I said again. He is the Lord God that changes not. So the finally will be like the beginning, because he declares the end from the beginning. So the end of the matter is how the beginning was. Alright? Now, what's the end of the matter? The beginning. Eden means heaven on earth. That is why Eden has no physical location. Nobody can go there. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? It's a realm called what? Heaven on earth. In Hebrew, it's called paradise. Heaven on earth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? So some sort of, in the second coming, there will be this heaven on earth realm. This heaven on earth experience. Alright? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? A lot of changes will happen, but we're not going to be caught up in that realm heaven. Because if you are caught up in that realm heaven, for instance, since all of us don't want to die, we may not understand that. But people who are in heaven right now, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are caught up and are waiting. That's not the final realm. They are waiting for the final realm. That is why the dead in Christ were in heaven shall be the first what? Put on their flesh. Where? That they buried 6 feet under the ground. They'll wear their body again. Because you see, in the beginning, God created this body to live forever. You see, if God doesn't want this body to live forever, he will not quicken us by his spirit. You understand what I'm trying to explain? The Bible said, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit has what? Quickened your mortal body. If it was never supposed to be, it would have never happened. And that's why Paul said something somewhere, and he left so many confused. Many theologians are debating this. Some are understanding this. Some say just the way they feel it is. He said, we groan and are burdened. Now, what is mortal? Paul started seeking this realm a long time ago while he was on the earth. He said, we groan and are burdened that what is mortal be swallowed up by life. Some sort of, he felt like the thing should happen in his time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because that's supposed to be the actual realm. I'm talking about immortality, but I don't want to dive deep in it. Because when you say things like this, when Christians begin to understand you, you know, they misunderstand you. I mean, I was talking with a man of God. He said, this pastor, this revelation is for a generation. I said, which generation? Where did the Bible say a particular revelation is for a generation? It's because the thing sounds too good to be true. Too good. Because as we are seated here, the mentality we have is a function of our, more of a function of our everyday living, where we grew, our localities, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Our schools and etc. As the word of God comes and begins to interface with you, it begins to fight those wrong ideologies in your heart. And a lot of times it's very difficult to embrace this new thing that is happening to you, this new change. Satan will fight you. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? Long-lasting thoughts, long-lasting lies, I mean. They are now, that are still existing till today as truth. Long-lasting lies that have become even the culture of people today. You imagine some culture now, they take burkutu and they take ogogoro as what you need to drink to give out their daughters to marry. Do you think God wants anybody to take ogogoro? But you see, the lie now stays so long, it has become like their own truth. A preacher said, when a lie becomes an institution, the truth looks like rebellion. But when the people that knows the truth begin to talk now, it will seem as if they are proud people. But it's not true. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He said, by subjecting every thought and ideologies, this is how we fight, that seems to raise itself. Satan will always want to bring thoughts in his heart. He feels this thought should be superior. Because, you see, the truth is that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he's fighting to make sure that your thinking is wrong. As a computer scientist, I am telling you that if your thinking is wrong, your life will be wrong. Nothing can be right about your life. I understand programming very well. And that is why I am very scared of allowing wrong thoughts come to my mind. It's more like what you receive is what becomes the expression of your life. And that's why the Bible says, guard your heart. You think God was joking there? He said, guard your heart with all. He did not say some. He said, all diligence. He said, for from it flows the issues. The root word then in Hebrew means the extent of your life. Issues, then the root word is extent, meaning from here to like there. That means the extent of your influence is a function of what gets into your heart. You see that? And that's why Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, dear Timothy, if you love yourself very well, if you really love yourself and the people you pastor, he said, pay attention to doctrine. It will really love your life. Because you see, sometimes, like I was speaking about Peter, you will think you are a good person till you are interfaced with difficulties. Till you are interfaced with situations. The Bible says, anytime the seed of the word is sowed in our heart, Satan will come with trials and temptation to making sure that he steals that word from our heart. He doesn't want us to become the best of what God wants us to become in our life. So as we are saying, you are a great person and this is who you are, he begins to look for things to just question to that situation. He will allow, you know, he will create situation. And one beautiful thing with God is this. Anytime Satan creates situation, God allows you to enter the situation. And anytime, well, let me not say anytime. Satan can, it is possible for Satan to create situations and God allow you to enter the situations. Why I did not say anytime is because he said in his word, he said, I will not allow you to go through a situation that you are not capacitated enough to go through. You see that? Satan created it. Yet, the reason why I said he's the one that will allow but did not create is because of what he said in James 1. He said, God does not test with evil. Alright? Meaning when you see wrong things happening around you, it's not God that is trying to test you. Yet God can allow that temptation come your way because probably he thinks you are too strong for this little temptation. You know why the people are saying that? Why the people are saying that we are like grasshoppers before them? There were certain people who used to hear God's word. If you look at the scripture, they were closer to Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. The Bible describes Joshua to be somebody that when everybody has gone, Joshua is always waiting back for final instruction. Moses, is there anything you need? Meaning Joshua was closer to Moses than all of them. Him and Caleb. And you see the beautiful thing that is that Joshua was closer to Moses and Caleb was his friend. Do you see that is not a coincidence? You see, show me your friend. I will tell you who you are. That is why two of them thought the same way. Why the other 10 spies came back and said, you know, it seemed like they were saying a nice thing. If you read the Bible carefully, they were giving the report. They didn't look like they were afraid, though. They were just telling Moses, well, the land is flowing with milk and honey. Honestly, we will not lie about that. But this is the truth. We are as grasshoppers before. The way they were amplifying the problems. All right? The Bible said the heart of the people begin to fail them. They were like, God. They started crying and they began to respond. Is this where Moses wants us to die? This kind of people. Look at God. Think about this thing, people of God. See who you are. See what God is saying you should go and achieve. Learn it from the children of Israel. Slaves! Say, I'm taking you somewhere. You're going to pass through a season of your life. But this way, after you have passed through this whole thing, in the middle of the journey, God paints a picture of where you are going to. And you are looking at your life now, comparing to where you are going, and you are like, God, the person you sent, this Moses in my life must be a stupid human being. I'm going back to where, you know, you may want to take that option. I'm going back. How can I be in such a situation, the children of Israel, even trusting God for what to eat and drink? There were days they'll wake up and they'll say, God, we are hungry. And after they complain so much, manna will fall from heaven. They were so thirsty, they didn't get water anytime they wanted water. Even though the Bible said God was training them. At certain point, the Bible said they were very angry with Moses. They began to lament. And Moses now got offended. And as Moses got offended, he even had to miss out on something with God. Because he got offended because of the people. Alright? And water came out for them to drink. Meaning they could barely even eat and drink. Yet God is telling them that that nation is your own. I don't know what that girl I'm trying to say. You are barely eating and drinking now. You just came out from a fasting with you broke it with Gary, and here are you seated. And see, I'm brainwashing you with some lies. I'm telling you that you are going to talk about that kind of thing. How the hell does one believe this kind of thing? Me, that have not really had a good when last did I ever eat chicken, and God is saying this kind of thing to me. The Bible said. Caleb and Joshua, instead of speaking like everyone, they said, let's go and eat these people. They are bread for us to eat. Let's go at once. The only thing they saw was victory. They saw it so much, they forgot about the problems there. The problems on the path. God told Abraham, see into the stars of the heavens as far as your eyes can see. Meaning forget about the things you see in the physical. Forget about the limitations. Set your gaze on what the word of God says. Jesus the author. The word the author. The word the finisher of your faith. Meaning totally. At the end, your own portion will be God's word. Your own portion will be God's word. It will not be anything because that's where your eyes are. Your eyes are set on the word. It doesn't matter what is happening around you. The Bible did not say as a man dreameth in the night. The Bible did not say as a man experienced at the status quo, so will it be for him. No, the Bible says as a man thinketh in his heart. And that's why I say guard your heart with all diligence. For from it comes out the things that you become. That is why when we sow this seed now, Satan is fighting. He wants to steal it. He will try. He wants to steal everything in your heart. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You got to guard your heart. Wrong things, 1,000 will fall by this side, but you guard your heart. None is coming close to me. Because these things around you are suggesting that they will touch you. No, you say, no. It doesn't matter. I'm going to Lord so much that I said things, people began to say that I'm proud. I can be somewhere and somebody's complaining, they just stole car there. And I'll tell somebody, angels are guiding my car. And what kind of proud human being is that? And I tell you, I take my time and finish what I want to do. And people are like, Maybe if you talk to one or two people about it, they'll be like, heaven help those that help themselves. I'm not saying I'm a stupid person. I probably locked the car. How many people have locked car that they stole? When Modern Market, somebody came out and started crying, they stole a car. Only God knew what he took for her to buy that car. What kind of lock did that woman not lock that car? There are some people who master, they know that thing. If they will repair your car and they will remove something, you don't know. Follow you anywhere, open the car and drive confidently, greeting people. Unado, they are going with your car like that. Straight to Abuja. They are not selling it to a butcher. And that's why what I believe in so much is my spirituality. I told my wife when they wanted to steal my car. I said I saw that they wanted to steal my car. And so the Lord said I should not park the car here again. When I took the car into my parents' house, they said, why are you not parking there again? I said, nothing. Why? The Lord showed me. They carried it. We started pursuing the person from Makurdi. He was going towards Abuja. We finally could not get him. Now, some people think all this our prayer is for nothing. Me, I factor this spirituality in every area of my life. When I'm even coding, I talk to the Holy Ghost. For no reason, he said, do it like this. And I do it. Because I know he leads me and guides me every time. So, it's not a coincidence that a voice spoke to me to do it. I was not expecting any voice to speak to me apart from the voice of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Because the Bible is speaking, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? It says, in the same way, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? It says, but you have received the spirit which is from God, that you may know the things are freely given unto you. Then it says, finally, who knows the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? It says, you brothers and sisters, you have. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Religious Christians will shout at you when you say these things. Ah, who says he has the mind of Christ? Okay, you don't have the mind of Christ. You are nothing but a pencil in the hand of the Creator. Sounds more embracing. Isn't it? It's more comfortable. Who can be like you? When you are done praising God, still know that he has said, I've created you in my word. Image and life. And he has no problem about it. He has no problem about it. If you are having problem with God's word that he has said about you, it is not you. It is Satan that is speaking through your mind. Yes, whatever God says, he's too wise to tell you what has not been controlled in the realm of the spirit. I hear people say things like this, Father, don't give me the anointing. You are instructing God. Think about what you are saying. Don't give me the anointing I cannot contain. You are telling God not to. So mean God don't have sense. God is too perfect to give you an anointing that cannot be controlled. That does not fit you. Meaning anything you see in your life is what you deserve and even more. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? When you see the anointing, trust God for it. Don't be saying, God, if I get this one, I'll be proud. Why would you say if you get it, you will be proud? You will not be proud. The Bible says you did not receive. You know, people don't know what we have done in what God has done for us in the New Testament. Is it when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, meaning all of God enter into people at the same time? Omnipresence. You carry all of God. I carry all of God. You carry all of God at the same time. Everything. The Bible says even the heavens of heaven cannot contain him. Yet he decided to enter a man. Now, God made himself small. Mm-mm. The case of Mary and the case of the new man in Christ are two different things. Before he came into us as new creations, the way he was in Mary was different. At that point, he had not manifested his full glory upon the face of the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He curtailed himself. He came as a child, went through the regular process, 9 months, came out so that you understand that the person they gave birth to in that house was the man Jesus. So that the day he tells you to do something like him, you not say him is 2 months, me is 9 months. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. I want to just hit this point before I continue what I'm trying to say. Did you get what I just said? You know, say, ah, Jesus, this one is 2 months. Me, Jesus came 9 months. In fact, they gave birth to him in a manger, in a stable, in a manger. They told Mary to push. Say, do you know how his mother gave birth? Before she closed her eyes, the baby just came out. Go and read the Bible. There are midwives, she pushed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And Jesus cried, The Bible did not say Jesus came out and said, "Wow, I have entered the earth. Really? Is this the earth? Now, Satan, you are in trouble." The way Jesus lived his life, right? Listen carefully. The Bible says even Satan became confused. How many of you will have the kind of power that Jesus has and Satan will not know you are Jesus? You will show workings. Yes. What is happening there? Is he mad? Does he know who is talking there? Get out here. You will show things. You will show. They sack you. Lord, you sack me. You know who you sack. But Satan could even barely tell. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians, Satan said, "If I had known, I would have not crucified." Meaning Satan did not know. Even Satan was warned by Jesus. He didn't know. Jesus was just normal. Doing his thing, normal. Talking like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? And leaving people confused. Even the 12 had to ask a question. At a point, are you the one? Are we really going where you are saying we should go to? Where are we going to? Maybe we should look for another one. Imagine, they asked Jesus at a point in ministry, "Where is your life is going? Are you Jesus? We don't really understand. Are you the one?" At a point, members left. Jesus came to church. Only leaders, disciples, only people that started with him remain. He said, "Let's take for instance." Jesus said, "Wait, what are they doing? I never go. Why are you guys here?" Jesus said to the 12, "There's a big situation now. Members have left church. And we should ask question: what happened now? Somebody entered church as leader, as pastor." He said, "People did not go to. We're not trial." Then Peter had to ask, "To whom should we go to? You have the words of God." And back to business. Satan did not know it was Jesus. He didn't know. In fact, he tried to put Jesus in a situation at a point. I believe he wanted to be sure. He said, "If you are son of God, if you are son of God, this is the deal. Change stone," because he can do that one. All right, as Satan, "change stone to bread. Let's show power by power." And I've seen a generation that say, "We must paint a picture to this generation that God is great. We must do something powerful." You know, something, and I saw a lady recently on Facebook, she wrote something like this. "Say, it's not about Greek names for angels and that. Can you cast a demon?" And I began to laugh. I know the picture she wants to paint. Alright? And I pity her more, because it's a wrong generation. The Bible calls them an adulterous generation. They're a kind of Christian that the Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 1. It said the Jew desire a sign, a particular kind of Christian. What they are looking for is a sign. It said, but the Greeks wisdom. It said, but Jesus has come as the balanced diet. He has come as both wisdom and power. We are not trying to prove anything. Now, if you talk like that, a generation will arise with jazz. It's not in the name of Jesus you want to hear. The Bible never even told you the pronunciation of the name of Jesus. Jesus will be plenty. Devil will be manifesting. What did those boys say? Those sons of the priest. They said, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preached." They did not call the name. They called it. They beat them waiting no good. And they ran away. In the name of Jesus, they were running away. So if you think it's at the pronunciation, that's why sometimes you pronounce, nothing will happen. The Bible does not say no, it's at the name. In the original, at the name, meaning you are in the office of the Christ. You are a son of God. And when you spoke, they heard you because you are a son. Not because you pronounce the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's the problem. So, you see, a generation will now rise and be showing this. That's why there was a certain generation of the prophetic. People hate the prophetic. People naturally, many Christians dislike the prophetic. If when I see you coming here, I'm marveled. Because I know people hate the prophetic. Because of track record. There was a time people want to prove rubbish as men of God. I think there was a time somebody wanted to float in the air. It was an arranged manifestation. Some disgraceful things. And you will know that it is Satan that is putting that in their heart. Because Satan dared to do it in the heart of Jesus. If you are son of God, prove it. Meaning sometimes you see that as a young man, Satan will be like, if you really want people to believe you, do this. And you say, no, let them not believe me. Because you already know who you are. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it doesn't matter whether they believe you or not. You know who you are. You have no doubt about who you are. Jesus said, I believe Jesus responded in his heart, even though the Bible did not say it, I am a son of God. I'm not changing stone to bread. So I'm not going to do it to prove to you. I'm actually not going to do it because I am a son. But Satan did not get it that was enough proof. He said, if you are a son of God, change stone to bread. But Jesus said, I'm a son of God. I'm not going to change stone to bread. I don't need to prove anything to you. You are not the one we prove anything before. Next one. Then the next one. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He didn't know. He said, if I had known, I would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Satan did not know. Not even the three Hebrew boys. Was it known about them that they were really God worshippers? Unless it came to certain things. When it came to mass, they were fitting in. When it came to biology and engineering, they were doing it like everybody, better than everybody. And people could not really factor that they were really God worshippers. It came to a point where we now have to prove our allegiance. The king became so proud, carved something about himself. At the sound of a trumpet, bowed to that statue. These three Hebrew boys, who were leaders like Daniel, could not bow. Even though they had favor with the king, they kept their mouth, they kept their conviction. They stood up. And the king said, you guys are not afraid to die? The Bible said some of the elders went and spearheaded, you know, people to come to the king and convince him that they were against him. I said it on Sunday. They took these boys and the king said, see, I don't want to kill you guys. If you look at the Bible carefully, the king didn't want to kill them. It was because of the talk of the elders. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, make the fire seven times hotter so that they will fear. That was his intention. Make the fire so that they will say, king, okay. Yet the boy says, oh king, the boys. They say, oh king, about this matter, we are not careful. If you look at the story, right, these boys were brought into that city as teenagers. But they knew where they were coming from. They had known their God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The God of their fathers. They were like slaves before they grew up in Babylon. Yeah, they understood how we came from somewhere. I told you on Sunday that there's a difference between japa and direction. Relocate. God can direct you to UK, but if you japa, that's when you start speaking unnecessary English. You call your brother who just japa, you'll be like, hey, Samuel, talk, now me, they talk to you. We don't speak around, that's japa. Relocate. They'll still talk normally. And their fire is still burning. I was talking to a friend. He said, Pastor, I'm schooling. And I tell you, it's so stressful. Yet, on Sunday, we can't really talk that time we are talking about because I have to preach in church. I go, what you are? He said, sir, my friend who knew that I'm a pastor already gave me a church here to be helping him. He went to the other one. And he's working the same work with me and schooling. You see, he went there next week, started preaching. Fire did not reduce. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some will go there and post for us and say, since I got to Europe, I don't pray. All my prayers are answered. Because their pursuit in Christianity has always been wrong. Wrong pursuit. These three Hebrew boys stood their ground, got into the fire. In fact, this is real faith. They say, if we perish, we perish. No option two. Have I not told you before? If it's God, carry all your eggs. Borrow other people's egg, put it in one basket. God will not fail you. He's sure odd. Are you listening to me? He will never fail you. He will never leave. He will never forsake you. If it's God. This boy said, God, if you decide that we should die like this, no problem. But oh king, you know, thank you, Holy Ghost. Did you see something there? They did not claim any martyrdom spirit. They say, we are going to die. No problem. We are dying for the Lord. Listen to their statement. The Lord is able to deliver us from this fire. Yet, if we perish, no problem. What's the first point? The Lord is able. Meaning, if you are faced with a situation, trust God first to save you. Don't be bringing option B first. They bring the gun like this. Is God able to save you with a gun pointed on your head? Pastor, what are you talking like this? Wisdom is run. Are many of you are science students here? After the speed of light, which one again? Okay. Where do you want to run to with gun on your head? Say, use your head, run. Head where they don't finish already. I heard about a man of God. I always like wonderful stories. I don't tell you weak stories. The man of God was so generous and wonderful that he was traveling one day. They used his generosity to weigh him down. And a child, you know, they sent a mother with a child to be crying on the road. So he told the driver, stop. Came outside. What's wrong? Tried to help them and armed robbers just come and gunmen just came out. And they said, your last prayer. He couldn't kneel down. They said kneel down. He could not kneel down. The driver already was on his knee. He now was drawing Oga to kneel down. Daddy, please kneel down. This is not a time to claim man of God. Daddy, please kneel down. Finally, driver dragged Oga. Oga kneel down. And they said, say your last prayer. He said, no. A man does not die twice. This kind of thing, they said, don't try this at home. He's trying it at home. A man does not die, because the truth is that whoever has sent these people, whether he does well or not, they want to kill him. It was other preachers who didn't like his rising that wanted him dead in the same city. It happens though. And when he said that, he closed his eyes and started doing what he knew how to do best. Stretching his hand, and they shot him 4 times according to the story. Yet he did not die. They checked their gun, whether it's the one they used to kill everybody they've killed before, and they left. That's when driver stood up. Okay, no die. Okay, no die. It was driver that took the testimony out first. You know, if you want people not to tell something, tell them not to tell it. Jesus wanted them to say it, so he said, don't say it. Don't tell anybody that you saw me, Elijah, and Moses on this mountain. Say, yes, sir. Jesus said we should not tell anybody that. Everybody has one person they trust. Miss Joy, as I'm telling you this thing, I never tell anybody. Oh, yes, sir. Miss Joy, go to her husband, honey. Some of you don't know that the story you are telling your best friend, they put it on loudspeaker. They are hearing you to their husband. Since one of my friends got married, I stopped telling him secrets. Before I got married, he got married. So we're talking one day with the friend, with his wife. I said, talking some things with... Yes, you told me now. You told me about that. He was trying to pinch her. She has already said it. I was like, oh my God. I said, yeah. It actually... Super Simon, that didn't really happen. I said, yeah, it did. I was looking at him. It did, actually. Wow. So I was going to say, Pastor, don't get me wrong. You know, it's my wife. It's only that side. I told her. I did not tell her. I said, no, Abba. What's there? We give God praise. Name, archive. We are friends, though, but secrets cannot... Secret has finished. And I started telling people, since this guy married now, I don't tell you. If you like yourself, don't tell him anything. No. Women are powerful. He has told her our secrets for many years. Just with a wink. He said everything. Aya, come, let me tell you about Prophet Simon. Aya, come. One wink. So some of you who are telling everybody your secrets, if they have not married and they have married, you are finished. If those guys are going to be eunuchs, you are safe. If one day they will get married, you're finished. So don't tell single men your secrets. Especially the ones looking for a wife. Because out of desperation, that would be like lines too, you know. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Glory to God forevermore. Now, are you here? Are you here? Oh, King, we are not careful. We are not careful. Daniel was in a deeper situation. He would not bow. Mm-mm. I will not play secular music, worldly music, sorry, in my wedding. Holy Spirit, where the? You two, no problem. We will not play. Tell your neighbor, we will not play. you are serving God all these years. You now put, give me one of those songs, please. Even your boo get a boo on your wedding day. You are telling your boo he has a boo. You have finished that wedding now. You know, I heard that on Facebook. I started laughing. Even your boo has a boo and you are rejoicing with your husband. Your husband has a boo. No problem. You're already sitting in the wrong seats. We finish. I told you people will not give certificate till we see your reception. When we are done with your wedding certificate, it gets back to my office. We now send a pastor to represent us in the reception. Immediately they hear worldly song, tear it, just tear, wherever it is, tear it. Are there good praise songs to dance with your wife on the wedding day? Yes. This kind God. Another one. Play those type. Not celebrating with demons. Actually, you are celebrating with demons. You know, sometimes people don't like to say this hard truth because it seems as if we are trying to downcast people, but that's not the point. Let me ask you a sincere question. I can't even remember any song, but let me remember those my generation. Monumental craze. Start to the craze. Now we the rain for this place, Kolomenta. Now hear the sound, hear the meaning of it. You know the problem we are having. Let me end with the service with this. We have some Christians who have not really gone through consecration as musicians in church. That's one of the biggest problems we have today. When we say boldly, they think we are against people. Is it okay, that a gospel artist is busting his nose as a man, Jireh, you are the best, Abi, whatever they are singing, and they are a man busts his nose and put earring. He love me. It's always you love me. He does not. Who does he not love? Who does he not love? Now, when you want to talk now, it seems as if you are an enemy of grace. You look at Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Chris, Padeboye. They are the tale of their life. It's just the truth. They are now looking at the Nigeria and the world and are hoping that a generation will do bigger and better things than them. And they will look at a generation rising and saying they have a superior understanding of the world. What is the evidence that they have a superior understanding? Not the demonstration of the spirit. It is that they can bow their ear now as men to self. They will sit and see a man putting earring with tattoos. I watched one video today. A Christian in Brazil, when he repented, he went and removed his tattoo. I said, God, in Nigeria, one that repented, put tattoo. And put your name. And say, God, is your name is justified. Things like that. It looks like condemnation, but it's a shame. It's a shame. What picture are we painting to a young generation rising? When they ask the man, why did you put it? He said, me, I'm not your generation. I'm a Gen Z generation. God sent me to Gen Z. That's why you are behaving like Gen Z. Instead of coordinating and mentoring Gen Z. If you put Jesus, me, I'll put, which one will I not put? Christ. You put Michael. You put, put your favorite Bible name, Abraham. Immortal. Glory. Apostle. Zoe. John 3:16. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's funny. And if you look at it carefully before I end, listen, I'm about to end. They have a wrong understanding of grace. Peter warned us when Paul metamorphosed. Paul was not the first apostle. But Peter warned us. He said the way Paul understood scriptures and he's explained the grace of God. He said his fear is only fear. It's not like Peter did not agree that was God's wisdom, because truly Paul understood better than the 12. Peter said, my only fear is that some people may misunderstand this to their spiritual realm. 2 Peter 3:16. Read it. Many it was prophesied years ago by Apostle Peter that a generation will rise up and misunderstand what Paul is saying. Like I said on Sunday, whenever you get dirty, where do you go back to? If you finish bathing and you feel dirty, where are you going back to? When you finish bathing again and you are still dirty, where do you go back to? No matter how sinful you are, you go to God to save you. So wherever there is what? Sin. Grace abides. Not to the end that the sin keeps on living in our lives, but that the sin leaves our lives finally. But you see, there's a misunderstanding. And now there's this gospel saying that whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Really. He came to defeat even sin in the flesh, Romans 8:3. And sin in the flesh does not matter. Somebody that is telling you that you should not set your heart on the things of the flesh because you'll be carnal. And substitution, it was substituting, sorry, in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 verse, he said, immorality and all form of sin cannot inherit the kingdom. The substitute for this now was flesh and blood in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, in like manner, flesh and blood cannot. Hallelujah to Jesus. To God, you don't need to sin yet. As long as you are conscious of yourself as just a mere human being, mere flesh and blood, you are a very suitable environment for the free flow of sin. And that's why you ought not to see yourself as flesh and blood. Say, I'm a life-giving spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthly. He said, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. Then he says in 1 Corinthians 15, as we bore the image of the first man, so are we bearing. Present continuous. The image of the second man. What Adam could not achieve, God had to come as himself, as the second man, and achieve this for us. And he said, me, the second man, is the mirror for humanity. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Old KJV. He said, as we behold Jesus like a mirror, or as a glass, we have been what? Transformed. So Jesus is our example. Is our example. The blueprint of our life. How we ought to be, how we ought to live is Jesus Christ. And so we are not scared of the day of his coming. 1 John 4:17. Because as he is, where? So brothers and sisters, what is more important than anything is sound doctrine. Are you listening to me? People may sound so powerful and etc. yet, but if they don't have sound doctrine, they will fail. Peter meant well. He denied Jesus. You can mean well as an apostle of fire, like we say in our days. I'm not trying to mock. You know, I really love it when I see people who love God, because I can't claim that at the beginning of my faith, I understood the gospel. I can't claim. But thank God for the fact that I was in a faith community, because if I was not there, I would not be here. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And so I'm not mocking, but I'm advising. Are you listening to me? Very important. Don't allow just this fervency deceive you. It is nice. Apollos was so fervent speaking wrong things. He thought he was in the spirit. Until Priscilla and Aquila called him to the side and corrected his doctrine. He didn't know he was saying wrong things. And they had to take him to Paul. Paul laid hands on him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He became so powerful. Are you listening to me right now? For us who understand grace, go back to that grace message. You don't joke with it. Are you listening to me? You want to live above sin? You don't joke with the grace message. Don't say, Pastor, I've said it. It is settled. It's a lie. You must go back home and eat the word of God. Eat it. Are you listening to me? Eat of the tree of life. Eat it. Feed yourself. Feed on the word of God. Feast on it. Man shall not live by bread alone. If you live bread alone, you will never fulfill destiny. Bread involved, but not bread alone. Bread involved, but not bread alone. If you live only by food, you are finished. Man was never designed to live only by food, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thank God the Bible not say some word. It says every word. Tell somebody every word. The whole counsel of God. Paul told us, he said, I've declared, I've not withheld from you the whole counsel of God. For some saying the gospel are in bits. No. Jesus is the gospel. And he is every word of God. Did you get what I just said? Jesus is every word of God. In sundry times, by various means, he tried speaking to us, Hebrews 1:1, through the prophet. But he has today spoken to us by his son. God has finished speaking in Jesus. And so we are not tossed to and fro, Hebrews 4 and 15, by deceitful ideology from man's wisdom. That's verse 14. But we speak the truth in love, verse 15. We are not tossed to and fro. Because we understand Christ. Say, I understand Christ. And so, fulfilling what Paul said in Hebrews 5, we have grown to the point that now our senses are exercised. We can tell what is seen from what is not seen. That's the promise being fulfilled. I'll put my law in their heart. Nobody needs to tell them what is wrong from right. Because I have put my word, law in their heart. How did he put his law in our heart? Giving us Christ. Christ is the light of life. Now that we know Christ, we know what is not of Christ. Because Christ is the order of God. And anything that is not of Christ is sin. Paul said anything not done in faith is sin. So where did they write no smoking in the Bible? We don't need to see no smoking in the Bible. We know that's not done in faith. It goes against natural science, and we can even prove it. The Bible speaking, it says, and the enemy has come to steal, kill. So let's prove it now. Anything that steals from you is from the. Anything that kills you is from the. Anything that destroys you is from the. So alcoholism and smoking is sin because it destroys you. You are helping Satan destroy yourself easily. I've heard people who say, drinking alcohol is not bad. It's their own cup of tea. Me, I'm bold to tell you, as long as it kills you, destroys you, medicine says any percentage of alcohol beyond normality is going to affect the human body. It has the potency to affect the human body. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So science have come to terms with this reality. And Jesus did not change water to buzu. I told you that's the shekme for those days. He changed water to olam, wine. And that's why the people said, in other events, when we go, they give us the good wine first. At the end, when our wives and children have gone, they now give us the shekme, the bad wine. So that our eyes will get dirty and we'll go back late. He said, but in this event, even the good wine they give them, Jesus made them to understand there's a gouda wine, not gouda. Gouda wine. Are you hearing me? I did not say gouda. What did I say? Gouda wine. G-O-O-D-E-R. There's a better wine. They give them the better wine. To them it was non-alcoholic. The one Jesus brought was more non-alcoholic. He said, with the one we are taking now, that means the first one, which was supposed to be non-alcoholic, is even bad. Jesus removed the alcohol more. It's called theology. You rightly divide it. And Jesus changed water is a lie. Look at it. Think about it. He did not change water. Okay, Jesus changed water to gouda. You have that mind? Stand up now and declare to God, you change water to gouda. He didn't do that. I heard somebody say palm wine. I'm not in that debate. The truth is that his law is in our heart. Eh? If some of you think palm wine is okay, go and drink. You're on your own. Me, I've taught you God's word. Are you listening to me? So, I don't take palm wine, but some people tell you, I was just tapping it directly from the tree, pastor. You're on your own. I don't know what to say there. Alright? Are we together? I said, no, pastor, I like taking palm wine because it makes my eye clear. Nice one. If that's the purpose, fine. But God knows our heart. Some of you are taking it to get drunk. You're on your own. Just the love for pastors will catch you taking palm wine that day. But you're on your own for the rest of you. Are you here tonight? Did you have a great time? Can we pray in the spirit? Just bow your heads and thank the Lord for his word. Give him praise for his word.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.